Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good buddy Ted Fishman back on the show. Ted's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is a former trader, floor trader in the Chicago Mercantile System. He's, you know, he's got guts if he was able to deal in the commodities. And he's an award-winning journalist. He's the author of the book I'm holding in my hand, which is one of my favorites, China Inc. How many times have I invoked the name of Ted Fishman and his book on this show, even when he wasn't here? And he's here now, and he's our good friend, Ted Fishman. Welcome back to the show.
So glad to be here. Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. Ted, in the previous segment, I was prophesying about something I think will happen the next 3 to 7 years, and that is the proposal that America overlay on top of everything else we pay in taxes, a value-added tax regime. And I didn't say that we were going to have it, but I said that some people were going to recommend it because, as you know, the VAT is a cash factory. It's like the goose that lays the golden egg, at least for a while, until it finally just saps the resources out of an economy. It's a political, in my opinion, it's a political tool. It's not really designed to do anything but feed the drug habit, the addiction for cash of politicians. And I said earlier that I think that if America overlays a VAT on top of what we already have, that will be the beginning of the end of what makes America great, which is an entrepreneurial country, an entrepreneurial society, because the VAT is not the friend of entrepreneurship. And now you have been telling me lately something I hadn't thought about, that China has a VAT, and they use it in different ways, don't they?
Yes. In fact, the United States government, our trade representative, has been critical of China's VAT. It ranges from 5 to 17%. It goes up and down depending on the trade winds between the two countries.
So they literally move the VAT up and down, not for raising income so much for their government as much as it's used. You're saying it's basically used directly as a trade tool.
Yes. Not only that, but there is a policy in China that rebates the VAT. So if you're an exporter in China and you're sending goods to the United States, you could sell them at cost, build in the 17% of VAT into the cost.
And that'd be your margin.
Yeah, and all the profit you get back, it would be the check that the Chinese government writes you to rebate that VAT.
Just like in America, a car dealer will often sell you the car at invoice because they know, they knew at one time, that the factory, the manufacturer, was going to rebate them $750 per car at the end of the year.
That's right.
Same thing.
When the Chinese economy slowed down following the debt crisis, the VAT rebates went up. And this has been part of China's rebound.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, China's been leading the world out of the recession.
Right.
And its growth is going to be very robust this year, over 8%. And part of it is the skillful use of the Chinese government of these tools. Of course, income tax is kind of a non-event in China. There is some income tax in China. There's enormous non-compliance. So the VAT is one of the...
So you say that China is you think China is a currency manipulator?
Well, sure. I mean, every country gets to set a certain price on the way their fiscal house is in order. We set interest rates. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the mechanisms for your fiscal housework is you can't set interest rates and then also set your currency.
Right.
China chooses to set its currency rates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mentioned I'm a former trader. I mean, the way I think about these things is that everything's a currency in one way or another. And, you know, you can
right.
set the prices of some currencies and you can't set the prices of others. So China sets its currency so that they can export aggressively to us, but they have less control over their debt market.
Right, right. So do you agree with me that a value-added tax would be a very bad thing for America?
I think if you layer it on top of the taxes we have, it would be bad. It's all really the aggregate taxes. I thought what you said
right.
about the, if you appeal the amendment.
Repeal the 16th Amendment.
But some VAT countries, you know, if you add their total tax burden together, even
yeah.
places we think of as high tax
mm-hmm.
countries like Denmark, their tax freedom is just about a half a day away from our tax freedom.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Ted. I've got to take a quick break, folks. 10, 20 tails. Stay with us.
I don't have to dream alone.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of China Inc. We're talking about some of the ways that China plays hardball. And they do play hardball, don't they, Ted?
Well, increasingly, they're getting to be a very mature economy, and they're a mature economy where the government is a big economic player as a corporate entity, as thousands of corporate entities. So when you compete against China, you're competing against not only businesses, but you're competing against regulators who have businesses.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the VAT tax, the value-added tax, that China has, how they use it to manipulate and to influence trade and maybe currency, their currency as well, which is all kind of all the same thing. Ted, if the United States had a VAT tax, do you think we would use it the same way? You think we would use that? And if so, is that not a precursor to protectionism?
I would not be optimistic that we would use any new tax in a rational way. Our tax regime is so scattershot and so piecemeal that it's impossible to use it rationally as an economic tool across the economy. You can target specific industries, but that always hurts other industries.
Right.
I think unless we chuck out the whole thing and have a big rethink about the kinds of taxes we have, then I would not be sanguine about it at all.
Well, the reason why I'm asking these questions is there are an awful lot of things going on right now that seem to be not something that if you're a small business owner on Main Street that you would pay that much attention to. But, Ted, I'm concerned about the overall health of the global economy on many levels, and especially with regard to the promotion of entrepreneurship. And taxation, high sovereign debt, the inability of politicians to stop spending, protectionist attitudes and things like that, lack of leadership by politicians around the globe. Those are all things that are the enemy of entrepreneurship. And the only way that this globe is going to solve its financial problems is by productivity and innovation and entrepreneurship. Not just in America, but in other places. And so the things that we're talking about may not affect your small business today or even this year, maybe not even this decade. But in the long term, Ted, it has a dampening effect on entrepreneurship, and I think that's bad for my small business. That's the reason why I like to talk about it.
Well, I think that's right. You know, there is a myth that the world is flat, that you can compete by harnessing the competitive advantages of a particular labor workforce or the intellectual capacity of a place that's strong in one thing. But really, governments use taxes to make the world very unflat.
Mm-hmm.
So a government that taxes people to pay for health care and gets it off of the books of small businesses
right.
and big businesses, those businesses compete against businesses here that have to pay for health care, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And in a global economy, you're not just competing against your competitor down the street. You might be a great guy with an idea who needs to figure out how to get 100 people in another country to make the things for
mm-hmm.
you. But if there's a guy in another country who can run his shop, and the government is using income tax financing for everything, personal income tax financing for everything, business costs in that country are going to be lower.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a rational tax system has decided where our income tax burden is going to be on individuals versus businesses.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, the tax system we have now punishes businesses and retards.
Especially since we have the second highest corporate tax in the world.
Right. We have a very, very high corporate tax, but our overall tax burden on our economy is very similar to places that we always think of as high-tax places. Actually,
right.
They can be very, very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at business startups in Scandinavian countries, for example, they do pretty well measured.
Well, some of them. Denmark does better than others.
Yeah, Denmark is.
Sweden is not
good.
A good example of that, in my opinion. But Denmark is. I think Denmark's really the only one that I know of. Maybe I may not. I don't know about all of them, but they seem to be. And you know, one of the main reasons Denmark is more successful, because they actually allow businesses to fire employees. They don't have the labor regime in Denmark that they have in other countries where you can't fire an employee.
Yeah, Denmark is the country I had in mind.
They're unique, but Sweden is not like that at all. Let me ask, let's change the subject just a little bit, because I want to get to an article you wrote recently. A lot of people are very connected to Google, right? We use Google all the time. We know about them. Sometimes we feel like we live in Google's world. But they've been having a dust up with China too, haven't they? And you've been writing about this.
Yeah, Google has had to pack up and move their operations out of China proper.
Well, now they've chosen to do this.
Yes, they've chosen to do it.
They didn't have to, but they did.
That's right. And the reason they did is because they made a bargain early when they first went into China to censor their material.
2 or 3 years ago, there was a big controversy over that, wasn't there?
That's right. And they thought that over time, the bargains they had to make within China were weakening the company from within.
And do you think that they thought they were going to change China? They didn't listen to you when you told our audience 2 or 3 years ago when I asked you about China following the rules. You said China doesn't follow the rules. They make the rules.
That's right. I actually had this discussion with the CEO of Google.
And Google learned that, didn't they? And we're going to talk about this a little bit more and what this means to you and me and our small businesses after these messages. Ted Fishman is our guest. Stay with us.
Remember my life.
The Reverend Al Green bringing us back 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Having a great visit with our good friend Ted Fishman, the author of China, Inc., Ted, you got a new book coming out?
Yes, I do, and it has a new title. The book is about how smaller families, longer lives, changes life for all of us, because it ages the population, and the title is Shock of Gray.
Wow.
And it'll be out in October.
Now you know that you have to launch it on this show, right?
I'm excited about launching it on this show.
Okay,
Very excited.
Who's your publisher?
Scribner.
All right, well, you tell them that that's the deal, and they don't want to
get
you.
Let them know.
If they don't want to get you in a lot of trouble, they better make sure that we get that done. So we're looking forward to that. I can't wait, and I hope you'll come back in the meantime and give us some excerpts of it on the show.
I'd love to.
How about
There's
that?
So many interesting things, and family business and small business is a big part of it. You know, 70% of the world's economic activity is from family business.
Absolutely. Well, you know, those are my peeps, and so I'm excited about this. And let me know what we can do to help you with that. We were talking about Google. By the way, the book's available wherever books are sold. China Inc., right?
Yep.
And your own website?
ChinaInc-Book.com.
All right, ChinaInc-Book.com. Check it out, folks. You'll find out more read a little bit more about Ted's book. Ted, Google. We were talking about Google in China, and so they went in there about 2 or 3 years ago. There was a big controversy over them because other companies went in and didn't roll over. They pulled out. Google went in. Do you think Google was arrogant enough to think that they were actually going to get get China to morph their attitudes towards free speech?
I think they were. I think they thought that Chinese users would be so hungry for it that Google proved that the information age is also an economic engine.
They were wrong, weren't they?
Well, what they found was that China really wanted Google's technology. They got hacked. China's competitors may have gotten access to Google's technology.
Their algorithms.
Yep. And then
wow.
Google said, wow,
folks,
over time.
Algorithms for Google is like the Coca-Cola formula.
Well, it is. I mean, Google is willing
to Colonel Sanders' 11 herbs and spices, right?
Well, the irony is, if somebody had the Coca-Cola formula, Google would make sure that the rest of the world had it.
Right.
But they don't want anyone to have their own Coca-Cola formula. So they thought, you know, if we're an unbounded medium, and China is insisting we change our behavior in China, eventually they may insist we change our behavior everywhere.
Is China going to, you know, as you and I are two people who produce copyrighted information. It's our property. We get to sell it or give it away as we choose. But we don't want other people, you know, taking it from us and like, you know, stealing it from us.
Right.
Fair use is one thing, but stealing, you know, the whole thing is another story, isn't it?
Well,
I mean you and I don't mind if people, you know, excerpt us, but we don't want them stealing our property. And so do you think China is going to change the global, will they be able to change the global behaviors of property rights, intellectual property rights?
Well, they already have. Fundamentally, American companies that want access to technology that they can't liberally borrow it at home,
yeah,
they go to China so that their Chinese partners get that technology
wow.
for them, and they turn around and make that part of their competitive strategy.
And, you know, small business owners might be listening and thinking, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, folks, 70% of America's economy is service, isn't it, Ted? And at the heart of service are systems and ideas and processes, which are intellectual property.
Well, nobody starts a small business because they have a worse idea than the next person. they do it because they have a better idea
right.
than the next person. And if that idea is up for grabs, you may lose the underpinnings of your
story. What's the resolution? Is there going to be a resolution of all this? What do you think? Who won this battle? Did China win?
It's very much in flux. You know, some people think that we're going to an open source world where you just have to move faster and be smarter. That seems impossible to me.
Well, it doesn't seem like a quality of life scenario, does it?
No, it doesn't seem like a quality of life scenario. And, you know, some people have an idea that's so good it ought to last a lifetime.
Right.
You know, if you invent a vaccine,
yeah.
You know, there's only a handful of vaccines in the whole world. It doesn't mean you can just necessarily come up and invent mm-hmm. the next vaccine. But if somebody takes that vaccine from you.
And Ted, here's the thing, and as I've got to wrap this up. How can America play hardball with China in their behavior if they own our debt?
Well, if we deflate their debt, we make them hundreds of billions of dollars poorer.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's so it's a tenuous relationship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Ted, thanks for being here. Good job, as always.
My pleasure.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, what would we do without him? We always get smarter when Ted joins us. Ted Fishman, China Inc. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Back after the news, and me and Steve Forbes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.